Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let me calm down a little bit. I got a little aggravated with Chuck in South Carolina, who started with, Chris, I love you, but you're crazy. How dare you call this a feel-good football Friday and then pick against us? Listen, I don't want to pick against you. I mean, I picked you last week. You won. You didn't cover. I picked you the week before that. You won, and you covered. I picked you against Philadelphia when everyone else was picking Philadelphia. You won, and you covered. This notion that I see so often on X, and I just heard from Chuck, that I always pick against the Commanders, that I'm a hater, that I never believe in them, is just such an absolute outdated,
truth.
Overplayed. No, no, it is such a fallacy. Again, I just gave you three straight examples. And I mean, I picked them to win against New Orleans. Now they didn't cover. I did pick them to lose against Tennessee, and I was way wrong.
Here's something.
I mean, you're going to get some of these wrong.
I feel like this might help people out. Chris, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want a real answer. When was the last time you were actually 100% secure with the game, that you knew, oh, this is a done deal, whatever, I'm not worried, it couldn't go wrong? When was the last time you didn't have worry with a game?
Oh, gosh.
I'm saying this to everyone listening that's like, oh, Chris is a worrywart, he's so negative. That's everything. He's saying that there's a chance that we can win, which for Chris the worrier, that's like basically giving them the all clear, we're raise hail, put the pom-poms on.
Right.
That's it. I mean, it might not be as boisterous as some of the other people that have pom-poms,
right.
But...
Exactly. Well, here's the thing, like, just to illustrate your point, right? I mean, again, I had this happen, like, you know, I got something wrong. I forget what it was. And, I somebody reminded, oh, you get this wrong all the time. Okay. Got it. If I was 100% right, I would not be here. I would not be wasting my time, okay, if I was 100% right, number one. Number two, like, for all that everybody wants to remind me of, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, does anybody remember that I was the only person picking them against Philadelphia when every other knucklehead in the world was picking the Eagles just 3 weeks ago? Now, somehow, by the grace of the football gods, I was right. I shouldn't have been right. They played like horses, you know what, in a lot of ways, and they still won, right? So you're going to be wrong a lot. You're going to be right a lot. So this notion that I'm, you know, this Igor Ben Conti called me yesterday, Ior or whatever it was, you know? I mean, listen, I could have come in here with my burgundy and gold pom-poms attached to my ass cheeks and shake my butt, and that would have been a sight, and you guys would have loved it, but that's not me. I'm telling you how I feel, not what I know, how I feel and what I think. There's a difference. I don't know what's going to happen. Dan Quinn doesn't know what's going to happen. All right, let's just move along from that. We'll get back to your calls, 301-230-0980. I did want to make mention, because I haven't yet. The NFL AP All-Pro selections came out today. And they do two teams, right? And the Commanders / Redskins / football team have historically been not on these teams, okay? So, to no surprise, Lamar Jackson was the first team quarterback. Saquon Barkley, Patrick Ricard, Brock Bowers, the rookie Raiders tight end, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown with the three wide receivers. Offensive line went Tristan Wirfs, left tackle, who they'll go against on Sunday. That's mostly Dante Fowler and Cleveland Farrell. Joe Thuney, who's now actually playing left tackle. Creed Humphrey, both of the Chiefs. Quinn Meinerz of the Broncos, who'll play against the Bills on Sunday in Orchard Park, and Penei Sewell. Edge rushers, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, no surprise there. Interior lineman, Cameron Haywood of the Steelers, Chris Jones of the Chiefs, again, no surprise there. Linebacker, Zach Bond of the Eagles has had a great year, unbelievable year. Fred Warner, Roquan Smith of the Ravens. Of course, Roquan Smith will be on center stage tomorrow night. Patrick Surtain of the Broncos. Derek Stingley of the Texans at corner. That's interesting. I didn't realize Stingley was having that good of a year, but when you have that kind of a pass rush, it's going to help you a lot, as we've talked about throughout the week. Kirby Joseph's got like 9 interceptions. Xavier McKinney's got 8, I think, of the Packers. They were the 2 safeties. So, again, no Commanders on the first team. Right through, you got Chris Boswell, plays kicker. He's been the best. Jack Fox, the punter from the Lions. Kevontae Turpin from the Cowboys. Commanders know him. From the kick return, Marvin Mims. He's going to be a big part of whether Denver can pull off the upset against Cincinnati on both as a receiver and as a punt returner. Brendan Schooler of the Patriots special team, nobody cares. Long snapper Andrew DiPaolo of the Vikings. Okay, second team, Josh Allen, the quarterback. Running back, just one, Derrick Henry. Fullback, Kyle Juszczyk of the 49ers. Tight end, George Kittle of the 49ers. Here we go. CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys. A.J. Brown of the Eagles. And Terry McLaurin of the Commanders. So that's your first Commander All-Pro selection this year. And again, they have had very, 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 very little in this voting process, but McLaurin makes it second team. So basically, amongst the top 6 receivers, as voted on by the AP in the All-Pro selection, Chase, Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, second team, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. Left tackle, Jordan Mailata of the Eagles, Quentin Nelson of the Colts, Frank Ragnow of the Lions, Chris Lindstrom of the Falcons, Lane Johnson of the Eagles. Again, pretty much no surprise there. As far as defensive players go, T.J. Watt, Nick Benito of the Broncos, Andrew Van Ginkle's been awesome. I wish the Commanders would have gotten him, but whatever. Zach Allen, Jalen Carter of the Eagles. Again, no surprises there. At linebacker, this is where it gets interesting. Remember last week when the Pro Bowl came out, Bobby Wagner was a first alternate? Bobby Wagner is a second team All-Pro from the Commanders at linebacker. I think Luvu was...
Luvu's there too.
He is there too, but I think Luvu in the Pro Bowl voting.
Oh yeah,
I would have to double check this, but I want to say he was a second alternate. If you can double check that, Wagner I think was a first alternate, and Luvu I think was a second alternate. But Luvu makes the second team All Pro, as Maddie just said, along with, check this out. You know the guy that replaces you, Antony?
You
on the Craig Hoffman show? His best friend is Zaire Franklin. He goes to the Colts games all the time. Zaire Franklin made the team, local product. Second team All-Pro linebackers with Bobby Wagner and Frankie Luvu. Corner, Trent McDuffie, no surprise there. Christian Gonzalez, one slot behind Emmanuel Forbes. Derwin James at slot corner. Safeties, Kyle Hamilton of the Ravens. Again, a guy that I had been told Jack Del Rio really didn't have any interest in or not enough interest in. Buda Baker of the Cardinals. So that's it. I mean, I won't waste time going through the rest of the special. Oh, I'm sorry. No. There was one more. I forgot about this. Austin Eckler made it as a kick returner to the second team All-Pro. So the Commanders get four second team All-Pro selections. Terry McLaurin at wide receiver, Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner at linebacker and Austin Eckler at kick returner. And that's, you know, like for a team that has traditionally struggled big time in that area, that is pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. And listen, the Pro Bowl voting is a little bit wacky. The AP, I'm not sure exactly who votes. I used to think it was like the actual AP writers, but I think there's some wackadoo formula or something. I don't care enough. Either way, this is generally regarded as the higher honor. And the Commanders got 4. Yeah, doesn't guarantee a playoff win. It does not. But to get 4, even second team, all pros is pretty damn good. Again, it's the continuation of like everything that you would kind of want from the first year of a rebuild. 12 wins, 7 wins at home, first round playoff game, winnable, and 4, a couple of first team Pro Bowlers and 4 second team All Pros. Now, of course, should point out, because there's only one quarterback on each one of these teams, you know who got eliminated or not selected, right? So that might piss some people off. But, you know, they just haven't had a lot of these. Santana Moss was a second-team All-Pro receiver in 2005. London Fletcher was a second-team All-Pro linebacker in 2012. Brian Mitchell was a first-team All-Pro kick returner in 1995 and a second-team All-Pro in 94 and 91. Now, by the way, this brings up something from Sunday night's game, right? Austin Eckler's back as a member of the offense. What we don't know is this. He was, again, named to the second team pro All-Pro kick return, right? He got his second concussion because of a kick return. Last week in Dallas, he was not on kick return. They didn't technically have one. 5 touchbacks and an out of bounds, but he was not, if I have my memory right, he was not lined up there. It's possible that they could put him back there for the playoff game. But honestly, like Luke McCaffrey has done a more than serviceable enough job. You need Austin Eckler not only as a screen receiver, but also as a runner. I'd be very, 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 very surprised if Austin Eckler is back on kick returns on Sunday night. And I don't even want it. I need Austin Eckler to be as fresh as possible and to be as healthy as possible. Remember, he had not one concussion, but 2 this year. The second one, obviously, coming on the kickoff return. So just keep that in mind. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's get to D.C. in Oxon Hill. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
Russell, I'm very well. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for the call. What's shaking?
Yeah, I want to tell Chuck, relax, calm down, man. Just because Russell picked against us doesn't mean anything.
Well, I appreciate that, but just so everybody knows, I have to choose one side or the other, right? I mean, I think it's going to be a close game one way or the other, and a very winnable game for the Commanders. It's just a matter of whether they execute some of what they haven't executed, quite honestly, during this win streak.
And I agree with you 100%. That's what I was talking to Matty Ice about. I'm looking forward to the leadership of Dan Quinn to elevate to the next level. We've already seen what he's done with the brotherhood, you know what I'm saying, and having the team stick together in spite of what our record was supposed to be or what people's expectations were. I expect Bobby Wagner, the Super Bowl winning champ, to also show his leadership in this game. Also, I like that Mike Sanders still came on at the end of the year, had one of his best games of the year. He won Rookie of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
no idea how excited Matty Ice just got when you mentioned that, because he knows that I not that I loathe, but I don't pay much attention to the Pepsi Rookie of the Week thing because it's just a popularity fan vote type thing. But I was very happy for, you know, Mikey Sanders still to get rewarded or honored.
Yeah, I mean, he really showed out that game, and a lot of people were saying that was a meaningless game. So I think that focus is coming from the leadership. Like, yeah, they saying it's not a meaningless game. But when we play this game, we play it the same no matter what if we're going to play it.
Yeah, it's a great point.
I'm looking forward to going to Tampa and making a second check on our list of avenging a loss to a team. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at the second team All-Pros also to show out. So I don't see Jaden having to do as much as he had to. With Eckler back, he's going to run the ball well like he did the first game against them. He just didn't get that many carries. And I'm also looking for Terry to have a big game. He loves challenges, especially when, you know, it's another receiver of his ilk that he's going to be going against. We got Lattimore to cover Evans. I'm not just satisfied with making the playoffs. I think we're going to win this game. And also, that son of yours is proud of this team. They're going to continue to make them proud.
my guy. I appreciate you remembering him. Oh, he's fired up. He's got the Buckeyes tonight, and he's got his Commanders on Sunday night. So I appreciate
so he
you.
He got
remembering.
A double hitter ahead of him.
Yes, sir. Great call as always, my friend. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend. And nobody's got to agree with me. But it's always nice when we can get along. Thank you, DC. Appreciate you. As always, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'm going to give you a couple of big red zone numbers because this is an area that I think the Commanders, if they are going to win this game, or if they are going to lose this game, the game will and likely could be decided in this very area right here. I'll give you some numbers to back that up and to discuss and to add to the context of the conversation next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. But it is a feel-good football playoff Friday. Right here in the nation's capital and beyond. That's right. The Commanders going to play in a playoff game. That means a little something, something. And see if they can get their 13th win of the year. Coming up, we'll get the other side of the coin from Jay Retcher in Tampa. My guy, who is the host of the Jay Retcher podcast and former host Tampa Bay Sports Radio Station. I'm trying to remember the call letter. WDAE. And just a good guy. I was on his show earlier in the week. So we'll talk to Jay. We'll get his spin on things in Tampa Bay. Coming up at just past 3 o'clock, we'll hear again from WWE and NXT superstar Trick Williams, former NXT champion, lost on Tuesday night during New Year's Evil on the CW, and they're coming to Capital One Arena for SmackDown on Valentine's night, and then the next day at the Entertainment and Sports Arena for WWE NXT Vengeance Day, which Trick Williams will be a big part of. So we will talk to him coming up at 3 o'clock. So we have a couple of guests still on the way. We will take the turn, and we'll go into the trending alert. This way we can get back and get a little more time on the back end. We just told you about the All-Pros and everything going on in the world of sports. We'll tell you a little bit more now right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, again, as we mentioned, Austin Eckler, Bobby Wagner, Terry McLaurin, and Frankie Louvu, all named to the AP NFL second team for all pros. The Commanders getting four guys on the list. Nobody on the first team, and, of course, no Jaden Daniels. So a little bit different than, of course, the Pro Bowl voting. But, of course, there's differences in the whole entire voting process. Meanwhile, Cleveland Browns cornerback Deshaun Watson has re-torn the same already torn and repaired Achilles injury, and he has surgery and is likely to miss most of, if not all, of the upcoming season, according to early reports. Meanwhile, from college football tonight, the other national semifinal, it's Ohio State and Texas at 7:30 down at AT&T Stadium. The winner, will move on to take on Notre Dame, who beat Penn State at the buzzer last night, 27-24. Speaking of college quarterbacks and college football, Carson Beck, who hurt his elbow in the SEC championship game and missed the college football playoff for Georgia, he's transferring to Miami to replace Cam Ward. And Kyle McCord, the former Ohio State quarterback turned Syracuse quarterback who had himself a hell of a year, he is turning pro. Meanwhile, the Wizards are on 99.1 FM tonight, 7:45 at the United Center in Chicago against the Bulls. Right here on the Team 980 at 7:30, we'll have UCLA and the Terrapins. And from the one final note from the NFL, Mike Locksley, as we told you about last hour, interviewing for the New York Jets head coaching job. He, of course, is the current head coach at Maryland for the football program, and that's what's trending. All right, it is a feel-good football playoff Friday edition of this year radio program. Halfway home on a Friday. Taking it up till 4. Don't forget, I'll be back with you on Sunday morning, 11 to 12:30. For a little extra bonus overtime, 11 to 12 over on the Big Stick, 106.7 The Fan only, and then 12 to 12:30 on both, 106.7 and 98. Meanwhile, throughout the week, every day, Monday through Friday, and more, because, well, YouTube and the world never stops. My guy, Jay Retcher, who does a tremendous job, and as I mentioned, I've gotten to know the guys that, from Tampa at the Army-Navy game over the last 4 years, and we didn't get to hook up this past time because of some circumstances, but I got to see him week one in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. I think we may have had a little Bananas Foster at halftime together. I'm not sure, but my guy Jay is with us here from Tampa. You can check out the Jay Retcher podcast on YouTube. Just search up, and it's spelled R-E-C-H-E-R. You can subscribe, you could listen, you could see our segment together, you could see all sorts of coverage of the Tampa Bay sports scene, and of course the Buccaneers. What's up, Jay? How are you, pal?
I'm good, my friend. I don't listen. I've been here in the Tampa Bay area covering sports for over a decade now. I learned very early on, man, that Bananas Fosters could be a killer. So from now on, I just stand about 5 feet away and I just look down the brow of my nose. I look down the peak of my nose and I just look at these people. How dare you enjoy this, you gluttonous people.
Yeah,
here.
Well, you know, I mean, see, here's the thing. If I lived down there and if I was at RJ Stadium, you know, 10, 12 times a year, however many times, you know, I'd have to probably bypass it. But the one time I was down there, I couldn't walk away from it. So anyway, either way, first of all, appreciate you making some time for us. I know you're a busy dude. You just got off from your podcast and all of that. And you know, of course, we did something together earlier this week, so people can go check that out. I put up a portion of it on IG and all that stuff. People can check that out as well. So give me big picture, the sense, because the Buccaneers – we know they're an explosive offense. We know they're a blitz-heavy defense. We know they've got a ton of injuries still on the back end. We'll get to all of that. But we also know this. You know, it doesn't seem like they garner this great level of respect for having won the NFC South, 5 years in a row now, and for being a division champion and for being a home team, at least in this matchup. People go look and say, well, the Commander's record is better. Well, why should I fear them? So is that the sense that you kind of get from, talking to Tampa fans, or are they pretty optimistic about this particular matchup?
Well, it's a two-part question or two-part answer, because I think a lot of people from the outside looking in look at the overall record for the NFC South and they argue that they're one of the worst divisions in all of football, so it's almost the like the best of the bad teams. But, yeah, I mean, they've made the playoffs 5 years in a row, division champs 4 years in a row, three of those division titles under Todd Bowles. And, yeah, I think inside of Tampa there still is, you know, people that the jury's still out on Todd Bowles. They wonder, you know, should the Buccaneers move on from him if the Buccaneers don't come out on top on Sunday? They're worried about Liam Cohen possibly going to greener pastures as the head coach somewhere else. But, yeah, there's a lot of good confidence when it comes to the Bay Area about the team as a whole. And you guys get this now, too, with the Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn. And, like, there's something to be said about vibes. I know they're intangible, and I know you may not be able to quantify it with a number, but there's just something about a feel-good factor where you have confidence that if your team makes it to the dance, you make it to the playoffs, that you got a shot. You got an opportunity to do something. And, you know, coming off of last year's year where they were able to win the division again, beat the Eagles in the playoffs, and then this year ending the regular season, not only with a win against one of their rivals in the New Orleans Saints, but Mike Evans getting 1,000 yards for the 11th straight season. They're getting healthier, it looks like. So they may be as healthy as they've been maybe all year long outside of the big-time injury to a guy like Chris Godwin. But, yeah, I mean, the vibes and how people look at this team, it's a lot different. And it's kind of ironic. Again, you know, you guys know there with just a change in leadership, how you could view this team much differently. And this team, led by some of their big stars, including their all-pro left tackle Tristan Wirfs, I mean, the people here in the Bay Area look very favorably here on the Buccaneers.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned Wirfs, and he probably gets as little mention because of all the weapons and all that. But that offensive line, I mean, the tape that I've watched and watching the Buccaneers throughout the year, and granted, I don't get to watch them like you do. I mean, they are not. I don't know if you would call them pile movers, but they are people movers. And if they get that zone run attack and the cutback lanes and the backside runs for Bucky Irvin, I think that's where they, you know, really, 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 really can control a lot of this game. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it all anchors with Tristan. I mean, with today him being named the All-Pro left tackle,
right,
first player in NFL history to be first-team All-Pro at right tackle and left tackle. And then you look at the infusion of youth. Graham Barton, rookie center, has done a really good job. Cody Mouth, the right, at guard. And then you have Luke Getteke, who went from left guard a couple years ago to right tackle. You never see this, Chris. You never see guys go from the inside out. We see it all the time in college. A guy's a tackle in college, then he moves to the inside, plays guard. You never see that.
Go from guard to tackle. Yeah.
You never see that, nor do you see a guy go from one side of the line to the other. This guy
went
from left guard to right tackle. It is really one of the most astonishing things that you're going to see from an offensive lineman that doesn't get nearly talked about enough, because his best friend is Tristan Wirfs, who's probably the best tackle on the planet. But those guys, combined with Liam Cohen and his intelligent play calling, you look at the difference between last year, where it's very vanilla with Dave Canales, and now the pre-snap motion and the abilities for the tight ends to come in and block. They've made such a huge improvement in just 12 months. You're talking about a team that was last in the league back-to-back years with Byron Leftwich and Dave Canales as the offensive coordinators, 32nd in the league, now fourth in rushing this year under Liam Cohen. It has to do with Bucky Irving, has to do with the play calling, and has to do with the guys that are blocking. The tight ends, yes, doing a much better job, but this offensive line that is got great chemistry and continuity. They love Baker Mayfield because he's one of the guys. It's just, it's a very special group here, the Bucs offensive line, that doesn't get nearly talked about enough.
No doubt. That's a good breakdown. Let me ask you some injury things, because we know Jordan Whitehead is gone, and you know, obviously that's a whole different ball of wax. But it looks like you're going to get Antoine Winfield Jr. back. He's been full go in practice. Cade Otton was full go yesterday after being limited tight end. Let me see here. The other one I wanted to ask you about was Jamel Dean's been limited both days. Levante David went from limited to full. So like you said, they are getting healthier. You expect all of those guys to play? Any sense, any guesses on your end?
Yeah, I think everybody's going to play. The one guy that may not, from what I'm hearing, is Cade Otton, but it looks like he's trending towards playing. I think out of all the guys that you would need, they filled in pretty admirably without Cade Otton. You've had second-year man Peyton Durham coming up with some big grabs. He had a touchdown last week. And Devin Culp, a guy that was a rookie this year, came out of Washington. You look at how many Washington offensive players were drafted this year, with Penix and Odunze and Jalen Polk up in New England. And The Buccaneers have Jalen McMillan, but Devin Culp has come with some big catches the last couple of weeks, so I think they'll be okay if Kate Otten can't go. There's another Washington guy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Antoine Winfield Jr., I mean, you're talking about another all-pro type player. Even when he wasn't hurt this year, Chris, he hasn't been at that all-pro level, but he has got the knack. I mean, if you've been watching football for the last couple of decades, you remember his dad and how opportunistic he was there with Minnesota. This guy is just a gamer. He's a lifer. He's got a smile that you can see through his helmet. So, yeah, Jamel Dean's a big guy on the outside. He's a guy that loves to tackle in space. Sometimes he does get beat over the top. So I know you and I were talking about De'Ami Brown on the outside. That may be something to be cognizant of because that's something that does hurt Jamel Dean. But, yeah, if you get those guys back, especially Antoine Winfield Jr., that's the guy right there. If you're talking about interceptions, forced fumbles, a guy that can really take the game into his own there in the secondary. Antoine Winfield Jr., number 31, is a guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, here's something for you, Jay. I'm so damn old, I covered Antoine Winfield's dad. I mean, that's how old. Exactly. Yes, he was. He was a hit stick, no doubt about it. And by the way, I guess Todd Bowles has made it official that Winfield and Jamel Dean will play and that Otten is trending in the right way, I guess is the quote that I'm looking at here. So certainly that is bad news for Washington, good news for Tampa Bay. But, you know, I mean, of course, you got to play the game and if they can execute. All right, let me ask you this. Bowles is always known as a big-time blitzer. We all know that. They blitzed a healthy amount in week one. Jaden, you know, he did not have a good passing day that day. It was his first NFL game on the road, so on and so forth. But he did break off 16 for 82 on the ground, two rushing touchdowns, one kind of in garbage time. When the numbers and all the metrics say they've even cranked up the blitz even more since all these injuries, which is unusual to some degree. But do you expect them to blitz as much as they have been blitzing, or do you expect them to blitz and blitz a good amount, but maybe not as much, knowing that if you turn your back to Jaden Daniels, he can hurt you like he did at times in week one?
The one great thing about Todd Bowles is because he's been around this league for so long, and one thing you really enjoy watching him as a play caller is, Chris, he may do something on Sunday that we haven't seen all year long. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came out last year in the game against the Eagles, and he played Zion McCollum, their third cornerback at safety. And the Eagles were like, what? That wasn't on tape anywhere.
Yeah.
So Shaq Barrett's going to be back again. I mean, we don't know how much he's going to play. What a great story for him. Does he come in as Todd's crazy, man? He'll have Vita Vea, a guy that's just unbelievable in the middle of that defense, and he'll put him out like in the flat to cover your tight end.
He'll drop him out into space. Yeah,
it's so strange. I mean, the primetime game a couple of weeks ago against Dallas, unfortunately, the Buccaneers lost that game. Rashad White fumbled, but the third down stop came when Jake Ferguson got out in the flat and Vita Vea ran him down. And tackled them to force the punt to give the Buccaneers a chance to tie or win the game. So that's the crazy thing with Todd Bowles. You can watch him for every single snap like I have the last couple of years, and then he can come out on Sunday and he'll have maybe a spy on him, right? Maybe a spy on him like Shaq Barrett will be playing in the middle field somewhere. Maybe Antoine Winfield Jr. will be lining up like on the outside for the first half of the plays. Like, you just don't know. And if we don't know and we watch it all the time and these guys have the tape, like, it's going to be crazy. And the thing is, with Todd Bowles against rookie quarterbacks over the last couple of years, like, he does such a good job of like, all right, we're going to give you this, but they're the iconic bend but don't break defense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he may be able to run down the field, but this Buccaneers D, even saw it last week, didn't play great in the first half against Spencer Rattler and the Saints. They gave up four scoring drives. But Chris, four scoring drives, only 16 points because they were able to force three field goals. So they kind of hang their hat on that. And when you have an offense with Baker Mayfield and Liam Cohen putting the ball in the end zone like that, I think you can deal with that. That's why I think in the first half of this game, I think it's going to be a little bit more even, and I think Todd kind of looks at it. It's almost like a boxer or an MMA fighter in the first rounds where it's a little slow. That's what Todd does. He kind of looks at it. He'll play soft. He'll kind of give you, all right, you're going to try this, you're going to try this, and then the second half comes out. The guys play it with a little more intensity, and then things change up, and that's why the Buccaneers have only given up 9 points in the last 5 weeks in the second half. They do a great job, even if it's not necessarily technical adjustments, but just playing with a little more ferocity and a little bit more intensity. I mean, that's really paid dividends for the Bucs this year.
My guy, Jay Retcher. You can check out the Jay Retcher podcast on YouTube and wherever else you get it. Does a great job covering Tampa Bay sports, and more. He's on top of it all over the place, and he's damn handsome too. I wish I was as handsome as you. But you
in the mail, buddy.
But you said it all. Speaking of red zone and bending but not breaking, what's interesting is that's how the Commanders are going to have to survive defensively in this game. And I just don't know if they're going. Like I pointed out, that's how they survived against Dallas. Well, a big difference: Trey Lance and no CeeDee Lamb versus Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan, yeah. Bucky Irving, and Baker Mayfield. Now the one area that you know, I don't think I threw this out there, but the Bucs are 66.7% in terms of getting touchdowns in the red zone, fourth in the NFL. The Commanders are 63.4 in terms of getting touchdowns in the red zone. So this game ultimately could be decided, again, inside the 20, as many games are. But the question that I had for you, Jay, is, you know, when you watch Baker Mayfield, sometimes you'll see just a brilliant surgeon, and then sometimes you'll see him throw up all over himself. What usually happens to create some of those turnovers? Is it just he thinks he can whistle one in into a tight window that he shouldn't? Is it pass rush pressure? Is there any way to put a finger on, like, why sometimes Baker, for all of the good things he does, has these meltdowns, and they do seem to come a pretty fair amount inside the red zone?
Yeah, and I think we've seen them less over the years. I think that was something that he really had to kind of deal with, you know, early on in his career as a guy that was just trying to do a little bit too much. And I think this year, a lot of that happened when you lose Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Like, how many teams are going to be able to lose the caliber of receivers that he lost and not want to feel like, hey, I got to put this a little bit more on my back? It hasn't happened with as much, I think, frequency. I mean, you look at it. He did throw 16 interceptions, which was probably a little bit too high for him. He threw 41 touchdowns and threw for 4,500 yards, too. So part of that kind of is like, yeah, it comes with the territory. The big thing with me with Baker in this situation is, yeah, I'm not necessarily worried about him turning the football over, because I feel like with the emergence of Bucky Irving and not having to worry about getting Mike Evans the record, he's going to be able to function within the offense again. And something to be cognizant of, and I was just having this conversation before, Baker has done a really good job of scrambling on third down for first down. He ran for 378 yards this year, which is a lot for a guy that, I mean, there's not a ton of design runs for Baker Mayfield. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. But 378 yards is a pretty high total for a guy that's a pretty, you know, he's a pocket passer. And, you know, he's run for three touchdowns this year. So that's something to also be aware of.
Well, Jay, not to jump in on you, but just to extend that point, remember when I saw you last in week one in Tampa, part of the story in that game is the Commanders were able to get initial pressure and beat some of their blocks, but they could not close the back door, and Baker would extend plays, or he would make some plays by, you know, using his legs and breaking them down that way, but more extending plays and then being able to throw off of that play extension or off of the leg extension.
Exactly. And I think now when you don't have as many guys that, like, he can make those plays, but now he's not, all right, I'm going to make those plays on the throw to the middle of the field. Or I'm not make turn on the outside and try to throw them all the way down the field. One of the biggest plays of the year, and I think it was New Orleans. They ran this double reverse flea flicker looking thing, and there was nobody open downfield, and Baker checked it down to Kate Otten. And it got him like 17 yards and a first down, but it was just, at times you could see the growth in a player like in one play. And he wanted to. He was looking. He was like, I'm going to chuck this thing 50 yards down the field. But he was like, I'm just going to check this down. Yeah, I know this wasn't what the play was drawn up to, but let's get it to Kate Otten to get 17 yards. They end up moving the football down the field to get a first down. They end up getting a touchdown, and they go on to win that game. So a lot of maturity for Baker Mayfield. And I know Tampa Bay is really counting on the experience of him and a lot of other players on this team Sunday night.
You know, you reminded me, I mean, it's such a long NFL season, and there's so much that goes on. You know, I had a caller screaming at me because I'm leaning towards picking the Bucs, right, in a close game. How dare I, right? The Commanders won 12 games in the Buccaneers, so they're clearly better. The Buccaneers not only had just an absolute poop ton of injuries on defense, but they didn't have Mike Evans for, what, was it 4 or 5 games? And they haven't had Godwin for the last 8 or 9.
Right. And then let's not forget, the first time these two teams played, we didn't really see much of Bucky Irving.
Yeah.
And he a lot of fantasy football players, fantasy football owners out there won their league, myself included, because of Bucky Irving this year. 1,500 total yards all-purpose. I mean, the guy's just an absolute freak. But, I mean, look at this Buccaneers team, and I know a lot of people are like, all right, well, you know, look at their division. I mean, look at the games they won, though. I mean, they beat Detroit in Detroit. A lot of people think the Lions are going to be the team representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, and the Buccaneers win in there. and beat them, right? I mean, they beat the Eagles.
They hammered the Eagles.
They went to L.A. You want to talk about a defensive performance, you go watch the second half of that game against the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh was waving the white flag at the end of that game.
Call.
They took Justin Herbert out of the
game.
Took him out of the game. They were like, this ain't working. There's no sense. We're not coming back. So it is frustrating here in the Tampa Bay area, because then you look at it, you're like, all right, dude, you're giving up 16 points. It's the Rattler in the first half. So there is a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde to it. But, I mean, that's the crazy thing about this Buccaneers team. They may be the biggest wild card in all the playoffs because – could they lose the game against Washington? Maybe, because Jaden Daniels is a great player. Terry McLaurin, they have the veterans. They have veteran coaching staff. We all love Bobby Wagner here. And Dan Quinn, of course, his time in Atlanta, we know him. But, I mean, this Buccaneers team, they're not scared of anybody. And they've proven that they can go toe-to-toe. Let's not forget, the week after they lost Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they went to Kansas City and took the Chiefs to overtime. Right? I mean, it's crazy. Ryan Miller, I mean, this seventh wide receiver caught a pass to tie the game. So there is no look of this Buccaneers team of like, hey, we're better than anybody. But, Chris, I got to tell you, man, they are not scared of anybody. And they realize, like, hey, if we play our game, why not us?
My God, Jay, I appreciate you so much for doing this. I wish we had more time. I could talk to you all day. You know what I think of you and all of you guys down there that I've been so lucky enough to meet through the Army-Navy stuff. And then we've become, you know, colleagues and pals and friends, and we've had some great times. You know, listen, I'll just say this, you know, we're in a tough business, right? So if anybody wants some high quality radio hosts, Jay, Zach, you know, all the guy, I mean, John, you know, who runs things behind the scenes, I call him Rock, John, whatever, you know, all of those guys down there in Tampa, just tremendous people and great radio hosts and great radio people. So, Jay, as always, I appreciate you, brother. Sorry I can't make it down there, but we will definitely see each other soon, and we'll definitely keep in touch. Best of luck to the Buccaneers. You know, hopefully it goes the Washington way, and we can talk again about something else. But, you know, we'll figure out a way.
I appreciate you, buddy, and enjoy the Ovechkin goal count, because you know me, being a big hockey guy, I got my eye on that.
You are a big hockey guy, and that we got to get you back on when the Bolts are coming up here, or when the Caps are back down there. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you, bud.
All right, pal. Talk soon. Thanks.
All right, that is Jay Retcher. Again, the Jay Retcher podcast. Find it on YouTube and more. Does a great job. He's all over it, and he is a big hockey guy, no doubt about it. All right, we're a little bit late. We're going to – let's double the break. Okay, let's do that. When we come back, we will have Trick Williams from WWE NXT. They're coming to D.C. We'll tell you and give you all the details coming up shortly right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.